so the chains and the on his hand, on his arm. He says that his hands were chained behind him, or tied behind him. And his feet are shackled, his legs are shackled. But now they got chains about his head. What is that saying? We're bringing him, and the chains that we really going to have on him are not going to be the chains on his physical body. It's going to be the chains on his mind. We're going to put his mind on the lock and chain. That's what the picture saying. Now, the picture didn't have to come from one of the bad doers. The picture could have come from one of the good doers among them and just want to show what they're doing to us. Hey, look, the worst thing they're doing is not bringing these people physically and putting them physically into bondage, but the worst thing they're doing is bringing those people to America to put chains on their minds, to enslave their minds so that they won't be able to do anything for themselves to disturb us. Once we take the chains off their feet and off their ankles and off their hands, we can free their bodies, but they'll still be tied up, enslaved by us, and that's what we are. If you don't see your own future, if you don't cherish your own identity, and if you don't understand that identity to be given to you by God, and you don't know how to trace your identity back to its source, and know that your identity is not your physical picture, but your identity is your human qualities that make you a true man and a true woman, a true person, and situate you to make progress in a real world. It lifts you up above the ape. It lifts you up above the beast of the forest. It lifts you up above other human beings who live like animals but are not conscious of their own creation. If you are not in that, you are still a slave. The real slave, enslavement is the enslavement of your mind. And Mr. Farrar, how did he identify this problem? As the mentally dead. Mentally dead. And he spoke of what his work that he was doing as a work to resurrect or bring life to the mentally dead. This work is not finished. Long ways from being finished. We who know the light, know the difference between the mentally dead and the living. We are responsible, as Farrar said. What is the duty of a civilized man? To teach civilization to the uncivilized. So we are not through. Wallace took over and did away with everything. That's your way of hiding from your responsibility and justifying your bad, unintelligent, and un-Muslim, non-Muslim behavior. That's how you justify. Shame on you. That's not going to help you a bit. Yes. I want to see all of us free. But not free to spoil our lives. Free to do more good for our lives. And be responsible ourselves. Accept more responsibility ourselves for our lives. the same thing you have done with the freedom that I'm responsible for opening up to the followers of Lord Elijah Muhammad. It's what the bad ones did when freedom came to them with the Emancipation Proclamation. Freedom came to them, they were free to party. Free to drink every weekend. Work and make a little money and spend it on whiskey and women. Yeah. So, could they say, well, you know, Abraham Lincoln, he did this. He told us, nothing matters now. Everything's in our do what we want to do. We're free. Freedom for human beings is never the freedom, the limited freedom that you give an animal, that you have on a leash, or that you have locked up in a doghouse, or a pigeon or a bird in a cage. When you free them for physical movement. But when you free a human being, you free that human being for mental movement. Mental movement. So when you're free, that's the time for you to do more thinking and to do more planning for your own good future. It ain't time for you to say, I'm free. Now they won't give me 90 days if I'm caught drinking whiskey, or if I'm caught at the party, at a dance or something, or going to a movie. Yeah, we used to get time for doing those things. I'm free now. I go to the movies, go to the party. I can smoke if I want. I'm not going to get 60 days out if they catch me. So your freedom is the freedom of an animal. That's no more than the freedom of an animal. You free the animal, well, I can eat over there and that. I can go over there. I ate all this grass up. I can go over there and eat some grass now. I can go over there and there's some nice thick grass over there. Beautiful day. I can go over there and sleep and play with my female mate all day long. They don't come and hook me up, take me to the field of plow or anything. I'm free. That's what some people, they're like animals. You're free, so, yeah, okay, I don't have to go to work. I don't need to go no work. I know how to make it. I don't need a job. Go over Brother Sharif's house today and eat. And I go to mosque later on. And I do my late prayer and tell them I want to do my night prayers too, my Tarawih prayer. And then I tell them, can I stay a little later because I want to do the Shahad prayer. They'll let me stay. Alhamdulillah, you're a wonderful brother. Sorry, we don't have a cot or anything, but if you don't mind sleeping on the rug, brother, you can sleep right here. You want us to wake you up for the shahad? To make your shahad? Oh, no, brother. I'll wake up. I'll make my shahad. Don't worry, I'll do it. Go on the wudu station and take a whole bath. Wash his drawers and put them on wet. And we see him the next day, we think he slept somewhere, you know. We think he got a home. We think he got a partner somewhere. That's what he's doing with his freedom. And when he was under the arm of Elijah Muhammad, the FOI caught him without a job. Caught him loafing and taking advantage, riding on other people, or he'd get a punishment. Yeah, he'd get jacked up real good and get a punishment. system. No enforcement, no law enforcement, nobody to put a leash around his neck, collar on him, and a leash and hold him by his neck like an animal, and walk him around where he has to go, and tell him, "Sid, sit down, watch the house while I'm gone." Whoop, whoop, whoop. Nobody treat him like that. He said, "Oh, I'm free." He hangs out with other dogs all day long, bow-wowing and wasting his life. That's for animals, not for human beings. Your life is your intelligence. You take your intelligence away, you're dead as a human being. The world of science and medicine tells you that. When they pronounce you dead and your body is still there alive. But why have they pronounced you dead? Because the brain is gone. There's no responses anymore in the brain, so they say the person is virtually dead. Now, if you want to keep them on life support, that's the family's decision. But the person is dead. Right? I don't know. I can't be at peace myself. I can't be satisfied looking at our race. Still crying the blues. Still blaming somebody else for our situation. Still living in neighborhoods, but not responsible for their establishment. Having little responsibility for the upkeep of their neighborhood and for the progress of their neighborhood. Not bringing in stores to supply the neighborhood with goods, food, etc. Not deciding how beautiful the roads are going to be or the streets are going to be. Not making these major adult decisions and just occupying space. And paying other people, and making good money. Those who are working, and those who are not working, taking bad money, a lot of it. Got money, spending like crazy. Going on today, just as it was going on in the Nation of Islam time. And I'll be like Muhammad used to tell you, stop wasting your money. Put your money to good use. Don't go make the money and give it right back to the people that paid you. Yeah, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that. Thank you, my brother. That's the teaching of my father, too. The teaching of the best in our leadership, in the history of our leadership. Yes. Yes. All right. Are we still in the same situation? You know, we had rich people among us even when we were yet slaves. A few were not slaves. Very few, but a few were not slaves in the North and in some other places. And I read of one who was doing trade, planning to do big trade with Africa. While most of us were still in slavery on the plantation, still slaves on the plantation. After slavery, after freedom, Emancipation Proclamation, some of us got rich in business, accumulated wealth. But the picture of us as a people still was a picture that made us sad, hurt our heart. Think about it. Now here we are in this time of opulence, great wealth for the United States of America, and a whole lot of money coming into our pockets, going out, into our hands, it's water right back out. A lot of money. But no establishment. No power reflected to tell us that these people are responsible for their community or for their neighborhoods like the Irish are, like the Italians are, like the Poles are, Polish people. And we could go on and on. Even the Mexicans that we thought was behind us in progress. I go through the Spanish community, through the Mexican neighborhood, and I see a Mexican language everywhere. On the streets and on the buildings, their identity just declares it. Shines right in your face, their identity. Their separate identity. The neighborhood says, this is Spanish. And Spanish people are going to support those businesses. They ain't looking for McDonald's. They're not looking for Jewel's. That's a big chain store in our area in Chicago. Or Dominick's. Or Safeway. Or some other. Most of them are going to their Mexican people that belong to their ethnic, racial and their ethnic group. And that's where they're spending their money. So just here in the last 10 years, their presence have become so strong. And their numbers too. Now we are no longer the biggest minority. The Spanish people have become the biggest minority. And they're getting into government. They're becoming lawyers, judges, etc. They're making fast progress. Progressing fast. But look at how they're living. And look at how we live. There's a big difference. They eat tortillas. Enchiladas. We eat McDonald's. Burger King. Our money makes Burger King bigger as an image. McDonald's bigger as an image. We give presents to others and hardly no presents to ourselves in our own neighborhood. And you don't know how precious this commitment is that has some of us still working to give life to the mentally dead, to give new hope to the mentally dead, to give new vision to the mentally dead, to tell the people who have been cut off from their past life, who don't know how to be an African, or speak that language, or live that life that they once had on that continent. In their forefathers. They don't know how to do that. They can't go back to that time. It was an impossible thing. But we're telling them, God has awakened in us a spirit and a mind to situate ourselves back in the dust. And have our people come to life again. Just as Adam was made from the dust. We know how to go back to the earth to be born again. And move from dust to poverty of mind, poverty of thought. But move from dust into industry. Isn't that what God did for Adam, the first man? Don't try to imagine in your mind a time when there was no physical human beings on this earth. And God made a man out of the dust of the ground by bringing water to the dust and shaping him and then breathing into that mold or that body shape of the earth, his breath, and animated that, and it started walking and talking a human being. Don't look at that. Look at the dust of an impoverished mind. Look at the dust of an impoverished spirit, an impoverished soul. And look how God can sensitize you with the water of innocent and pure human feeling. And you begin to be sad and feel bad over your condition. So bad that you say, I'm going to make a change. And the water works with the dust. And a man is formed. It is a new man made from the original substances that make a human being. And he's formed and he has now life and spirit, and he can't be small anymore. He look at the animals and everything. He said, oh, I am bigger than they are. My creation is bigger than theirs. My possibility is so much bigger than theirs. I can't live like a dog anymore. I can't live like an ox or mule or horse or donkey anymore. I'm not them. I'm on a higher plane than them. God has given me human spirit and intelligence and freedom to use the tool of my intelligence to plow the world and turn it into a garden for myself. Now he has the spirit of industry. And he comes up out of the dust, and he changes the dust, and he fills upon the world and fills the world of industry. Now, that happened before to men impoverished. And God is telling us, when man first started out on this earth, they all had to come from the dust. The dust of an impoverished soul, an impoverished intelligence. You're born ignorant, knowing nothing. But God can bring dust to industry. Can evolve dust into industry. Praise be to Allah. Now you who are alive, you're not mentally dead. I know there are among us, you who are not mentally dead anymore. And whether Mr. Farrar or not, but most of us owe it to the presence of Mr. Farrar and his faith in us, that if we were separated from the things that kept us blind and held us back, we could find our way out on our own. So the greatest thing he did for us was break our dependence upon white folks and gave us faith in our own selves that we can work out our own future. That was the best thing he did for us. And when he said he came on July the 4th, 1930, he's hinting something to you. He's telling you he came on Independence Day. He's telling you my purpose is to work with you until I free you to be independently on your own. Oh, and he played many tricks on the world. Yes, he did. He played many tricks on the world. He called us the fruit of Islam. A wise man know how to talk in the ears of his co-workers or his workers, and also talk in the ears of his enemy that will make trouble for his work. Hear what I'm saying, please. A wise man like Mr. Farrar knows how to talk into the ears of his workers, called all of us laborers, workers. And at the same time, with the same word, talk in the ears of the enemy who will make trouble for his work. So when he said fruit of Islam, he's telling us you are the fruit of a new Islam. You're going to come into a new Islam, and you'll be the fruit of that new Islam. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad made that clear to us. But he's saying to the enemy of his work, the jealous elders in the Islamic world, who don't want to see a black man and a black people rise up and be a shining model for the revival of the Islamic world. They don't want to see that. And he knew their nature, he knew their mind, he knew their weaknesses, and he knew that they would spot what was going on and make trouble for you. So he tricked them. The wise one who had the knowledge to see what was happening and be envious of it and try to stop it to get the glory for them and not us. They were wise enough to hear his message that he sent to their ears. This thing that looks very confusing here, look like I'm working against Islam? No, I'm not working for Islam, brothers of the East. When I leave, these will be your sheep. This is the fruit or the product of Islam. Come and claim them once I have gotten them ready for you. Peace be unto you. As-salamu alaykum.
For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call All Right, Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, 1-708-798-6750. All Right, Ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributors. And thanks for listening.